Everybody ready?
Okay. Ready.
Okay, I'm Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the, oh gosh, what is today's date?
Today's the 22nd.
The March 22nd, 2022 meeting of the Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board. This meeting is being recorded. And Gene, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely. If you all please stand, I guess we can use Cynthia's little backdrop there. there we go. Okay, if you'll place your hand over your heart as we renew our pledge to the most visible sign of freedom in the world. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, colleagues. Please be seated.
Thank you, Gene. I love the way you do that.
It's a prayer to me. It's a prayer.
Okay, Elizabeth, could you please take roll?
Okay, Elizabeth Busick, present. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Gene Hernandez.
Present.
John Pointer.
Present.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
Here.
Meredith Chalimi, and you said she'll be here later.
Or maybe she had a conflict this morning. So.
All right. So we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. And I know Marco Rodriguez will be subbing today for Erica. Desiree, do you know if he'll be joining late or do we need to remind
him? He's coming in now.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Okay, we are on to item number 4 on our agenda. Time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Do we have any requests to speak, Desiree?
We did not receive any requests to speak, and we do not have any members of the public present this morning.
Okay, thank you. So public comments is now closed, and we are on to item 5, which is an action item. It's AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to recommend that we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. It's been moved by Gene Hernandez. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Elizabeth Busick. Any discussion? Desiree, could you please take a roll call vote?
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Gene Hernandez?
Aye.
John Pointer?
You're muted, John.
Sorry. Aye.
Dave Tetzlaff?
You're muted. Aye.
Cynthia Thacker?
Aye.
And Meredith Chalemi. That is majority chair.
Okay, thank you. So our next meeting will be virtual. So with us today, we have Marco Rodriguez, and he's going to present the Office on Aging update. So welcome, Marco. Glad you're able to join us today.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. So I just had a couple updates that Erica wanted me to pass on. If you have any follow-up questions, though, I can take them back to her because I'm not too sure if there's any, you know, if there'll be any questions about it. So Erica said that she's received all the CSL applications and they'll be submitted on March 31st. And the CSL elections will be held in April, and that John Pointer should have all the details on that. That's number one. And then number two, Eric also told me to say that she's working with Chairman Chafee's office to agendize a SCAC letter and recommendations for the May 10th board meeting, and that there's going to be a certificate for Older Americans Month that's going to be presented at the board to SCAC and the Office on Aging. So the SCAC chair should plan to attend that board meeting on May 10th.
Okay.
And that is all the updates she asked me to provide. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Marco. Okay, now we're on to item 7, chair report new business. So the area plan update, usually in the past, we've had that right after our April meeting, which in the past had been in person. This year, due to the timing of when that that update area plan update needs to take place and our April meeting, the area plan update is going to be held on March the 23rd, and it'll be held virtually. I am not able to attend because I do have a conflict tomorrow. So I'm just putting it out there if any of the other SCAC members would like to attend that meeting. It's the service providers making presentations on what they are doing within their contract areas. So if you would like to attend, please let me or Desiree or Erica know, so then we can get you the link to that meeting. But it is interesting. There's really not participation required of you. It would be nice, though, to have a SCAC presence there. And also, you would come back, you know, with some information. Old business. So we do have our letter that we are going to be submitting to the Board of Supervisors, along with the SCAC identified priorities. And we will be submitting that on May 10th. So just to review this whole process, we had our workshop, the executive board, we took the findings of the workshop, put it together, presented it to SCAC for some edits. It's come back to, now it's coming back to us for final approval before we present it to the Board of Supervisors. So this was part of your agenda packet. So you've all had the opportunity to read it and review it. So let's go through it and make sure we've dusted it off. Dave Tetzlaff, have you put your eagle eye to it yet? You're muted.
I have, and I would move for approval without changes.
Okay, let's see. First, are there any changes on the letter, SCAC members? Any changes on the priorities, 1 through 5?
If there was any change or recommendation I would make, is if the numbers could, if the pages could be numbered. That makes it easier. I dropped mine and I had to pick it up off the floor, and I realized it would be helpful if the pages were numbered.
Okay, I see their number, but I guess they're numbered as part of the agenda packet. But as you mean when we submit it. So that's, yeah, that's mm-hmm. Okay, we can do that. So it's been moved by Dave to approve as presented. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Jean. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Do we need a roll call vote, Desiree? Yes, I'm sorry. I just go through this fast. So
it's okay. Let me open this up again 1 second.
Yeah, and the motion is to submit as presented.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez?
Aye.
John Pointer?
Aye.
Dave Tetzlaff?
Aye.
Cynthia Thacker?
Yes.
Meredith Chalemi? That is a majority.
Okay, so we will present it to the Board of Supervisors. As you have seen it, but we will add the page numbers on it in case anybody drops it. So, okay. Chair comments. I know there's been some discussion at our last meeting, and I know Erica and I have talked about this as to when we would resume in-person meetings. Much of that is up to the state and also county council as to their interpretation of what the state has said. What has been indicated to us by the SCAC members is a preference for the standing committees and board to meet via Zoom, but to have our full general meeting in person as soon as we're able to. So what we don't want to do is have that in-person meeting prematurely, and then, you know, half of the SCAC members say, oh, you know, I don't want to meet in person. So we're looking to, and again, Erica was going to talk to management and also find out from county council, but would maybe we would, because we have our April meeting, our May meeting, we're dark in June, and then start up in person in July. So I'm just, you know, letting you know that's where we're thinking as far as meeting in person with the general meeting. Does anyone have any other thoughts on that? Anything you'd like to share?
I would like to, with the subcommittees or the committees, instead of totally meeting virtual, I would consider meeting at least once a quarter or twice a year in person.
Okay, you reminded me of one reason why we would continue those virtually, and maybe Marco can chime in on this, is because there will not be a meeting room for us because they're redoing that second floor over where the Office on Aging is. So that conference room where we usually met is not available. So unless there were
That's correct. There's not gonna be any meeting rooms here that I'm aware of, because even where we're moving to the first floor temporarily. And the first floor, we're going to be really tight already as it is. And even the meeting rooms we had down there, I believe that they're using them for something else. So that's going to be like that through probably the end of December.
Okay. And then there's also, I mean, if we looked at other county, just a minute, Cynthia, if we looked at other county rooms, I know there's a hesitation on our members to go into downtown Santa Ana just because of the parking situation and the long walk. But there is a possibility maybe over at OCPL, which is down the street from the complex where Office on Aging is, but whether or not their conference room is being used, that's something we need to look into. Cynthia.
So I understand why Roberts, all that stuff about, you know, having available to the public, but then, you know, we went through this with the so-called pandemic, whatever. And so now the headache for us to go back and the drive, the time, is there any way we can maybe look at or suggest that this is more economically more feasible for us to meet? And I remember when we met, how many really people in public were accessible to our meeting, came to our meetings and stuff. So we did it for economic reasons or pandemic reasons, and you know, because we couldn't meet in person, and now we can't. If they're going to release it, I am very objective to, let's go the other way. It's going to be really hard on us to meet in person, drive, meeting places, time thing, that it's to us more advantageous to have these Zoom meetings.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, we do miss that connection with each other, which there is a lot you gain from in person, why I think we'd want to go back to our big meeting, our general meeting in person as soon as we can. But for these standing committees, I mean, also it's an environmental issue to put 40 people, you know, driving up to Santa Ana back and forth. And a number of our members are on more than one standing committee. And we also have other members who are not SCAC members on the standing committees. And it's I think for our standing committee, I know I spend more time driving back and forth than I do in the meeting. So I think these are things that need to be identified, and some of it may need a legislative fix to allow certain meetings to continue virtually.
I definitely think that's the answer, because, you know, anyway, thank you for listening to me.
Yeah, no, I think we're all in agreement. The standing committees, it's, you know, there's a lot of benefit to meeting virtually. And I know when we discussed this before, we said, well, even though the standing committees wouldn't be meeting in person, if we met at the general meeting with everybody was in person, we still have that contact once a month.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, what we could, something we may want to look at is, just if our monthly meetings in person were to start at 9:30, and I know we've always, you know, had the room available about an hour before, but say to the standing committees, you know, if your group just wants to chat, not have a meeting, but chat and maybe have, or a subcommittee of it, which is less than a quorum, could do that at 9 o'clock. So there's some options there, but again, a lot depends on, unfortunately, what the governor says, and then also how council interprets that. So, but if you have any other input, just let me know. We're happy to take it.
Well, if they interpreted it as we have to meet because it can't meet, then we can find a way to interpret that this is better for us on these standing committees not to meet.
Well, and particularly when you look at the population or who makes up our standing committees. I mean, and this is the age group that was the most vulnerable to COVID and the first age group to have their activities shut down. So, but that's on the radar. So we'll keep you posted. But I did want to bring up that also that there would not, if the standing committees had to go back to meeting in person, it would not be at the Office on Aging complex.
Okay. My thoughts, and just the announcement today, I heard that the major announcement today is that they're not going to be requiring COVID record testing or checking your IDs at major events now. So you narrowly seen change back to normal. And some of the things that you miss face to face is that with the standing committees, you have members on the standing committee that are not members of SCAC.
Right.
And you don't have that opportunity to meet with them, get to know them. Definitely with, when you have more than 20 people, I highly recommend meeting in person because you, mm-hmm. you can't see more than 20 people on a screen unless I'm doing something wrong with Zoom. And to be able to go back and back to screens and so forth, you don't get that personal touch without face-to-face. Yeah. So I would encourage face-to-face, not necessarily with the standing committees every meeting, but at least once, twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the standing committee members are always welcome to the SCAC meeting. And in fact, that's how we get good SCAC members, because if they've been on a standing committee, then they understand what we're all about. So at least my personal opinion, that's the way I prefer someone become a SCAC member, is that they've been on a standing committee for a little bit, so they understand what we're doing, and then they apply to be a SCAC member. So, you know, encourage, if you have, you know, people on the standing committee that you're sitting on that are not SCAC members, encourage them to come to our meetings to see what we're all about. Cynthia.
And you can create your screen to have it portrait, I mean, whatever it's called, where all of you are on there. And this personal touch, I mean, I think Zoom is, I mean, I can almost personally feel each of you. So I don't know about that when we, you know, I like in person, but it's not necessarily the end all to have to do that. But you, if you look at your settings, you can go to where you have everybody on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To answer that question, Dave, you can create where you can see everybody.
More than 20 people?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know how that is done. If someone could let me know.
Go to your settings. Go to your settings.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on that? All right. Next, Gene, you're up. Standing committee updates, even though we've been talking about them.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot of new information on those. I think they've been doing their thing and meeting and robust discussions and a lot of creativity, and everybody's excited and waiting to hear for our get together. So Cynthia, your thoughts on that? Anything else you'd like to add to that? You've been a couple of them.
No, the only thing is that Sandy started in, I think, November or something like that, this roundtable at the end. And you, like Jean said, it has become like a plus with ideas and format. So if anybody else wants to think about doing that on the other standing committees, I think it was a wonderful idea what we're doing there.
Yeah, you're right, Cynthia. That is a good deal they do. No lack of input from folks. Let's put it that way. That's it for me, Elaine.
Okay, thank you. Presentation schedule. So Meredith had, even though she's not able to be here, she shared the presentation schedule with us. And right now she has the challenge of if we go back to when we go back to meeting in person, it's scheduling those senior centers. And sometimes it may not be the senior center we're meeting at, it may be another facility in a city, because I know when she's talked to at least the senior center she's liaison to, they've had such an increase in their meal programs that it's very difficult for them to move that to another room within their senior center. So that's a challenge that she's going to have as far as when we go back to meeting in person, is the senior centers being able to accommodate us. So, you know, we like to see the senior centers around the county, but we certainly don't want to displace their meal programs. So, and also with the speakers further out in the year, it may be in person or it may be via Zoom, and they need to have that flexibility. Now we're on to item 10, Cynthia, senior center liaisons. And just so you know, the senior engagement committee and Dave Tetzlaff's digital connectivity subcommittee was talking about doing a survey. So I suggested they connect with you so that whatever their survey is, goes out through the senior center liaisons.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea, because really the whole idea here was we have a lot of new members. And I remember when I was a new member, you know, it is easier to have it. You don't even have to call it a survey, you know, just a couple of questions to open the door and get them, you know, it's easier to have something agenda to open the door. So after talking to different people, you know, my question was, you know, maybe just find out the question is, and Elaine, of course, we have to finalize this, but or a vote or whatever, have to do it. But, you know, any needs as the directors, do they have any needs as they see the seniors coming that we can maybe help provide better services? And then, of course, I think excellent, we should follow up on the tech stuff. So if Dave wants to submit a question and then we can review it, I'd like this to go out at the next general meeting.
Yeah, and you know what, I think it would be helpful if maybe it were put to the standing committee chairs. What information do we need from our seniors to help you fulfill your responsibility to SCAC? And maybe once a month, it's a question that goes out so that it doesn't need to be a formal written survey, but it's giving the senior center liaisons something to talk about when they make that phone call. Or send that email, just, you know, let's bring this information back. And maybe, you know, it could be a variety of topics, but maybe if there was something very simple, but once a month, because it's that repetitive and continuous contact that establishes the relationship.
And again, you know, if you just try to call each week or month or whatever, and just say, what's up, you know, I mean, this way it does have an engagement. And we can find, like what we're doing at Towson Trend, this interaction at the end, this roundtable we're doing, it's the same thing. You never know what's going to come out of it, and something is going to, you know, an idea or something. So do you, Dave, do you want to just email me something that you want? And then Elaine, we can discuss before the general.
Well, and I don't know, unless it were a formal survey, would go to the general. But if it's a question that's within the purview of SCAC, I think maybe You and I and Erica can go over that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Whatever's the easiest.
If it's not a formal survey, it's because, you know, once a month can be, but again, it's to have that regular contact. And I really do want to know, and I think Dave can refine the question. I do want to know how those seniors are using those iPads. How did they find out about the availability? So we know what is the channel of communication we should be using and how are they using it?
And that was my original thought, is using that information, because I was really, we used it when it first was presented to us out to the seniors. I know I used it in my context. So we should follow up on that.
I
think the survey we were talking about was directed to those that have the iPads through the Department of through the Office on Aging. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't see the need of going directly or indirectly through the senior centers, because they would not necessarily have that information of who received the iPads. It would be the Office on Aging that would have that information.
So then maybe our question to the senior centers is, how are your clients getting their information?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, and I think that's a more broad.
Yeah, because then it tells.
Questioner.
Yeah. And then also, do you feel in your community that there's a segment of your seniors that are not getting any information? And then maybe, and how do we address that? So also I'm interested in, maybe Marco can get the information for us. How many people are using the Get Set Up? How are those subscriptions going? Because we only have 1 year to use all those subscriptions, and we want to make sure that they are being utilized.
Would Lillian have that information now that she's the consultant through the Office on Aging?
She's for the Seniors Citizens Engagement Committee. So either her or I'm asking Marco, just because he's representing Erica here today. So
okay.
So I can find out from the manager that's running that program to see if she's able to find out how many people in Orange County are using that.
Yeah.
And it's an outside agency. I'm not sure if we can get the analytics from their website or if they even keep track, but I can have her find out and then
And also the Board of Supervisors, I forget the number, they funded a number of seats, a number of classes. So how far are we in utilizing those? Because, you know, if we're halfway through the year, we want to be sure we're at least halfway through using the classes, not only 1/10, or else we need to pump up the publicity on it, because we don't want that to go to waste.
Yeah, I think Erica used the could furnish this, always was always able to furnish that information. Who was the third party that was coordinating the iPad service then?
When you're saying third party, are you referring to like the person at Office on Aging?
Is the Office on Aging distributing? And
yes, we're distributing.
Okay.
Yeah, so the third party. The third party Marco referred to was on the Get Set Up, not on the iPad.
Right. Okay. And that's okay.
Okay.
We are distributing the iPads too out of the office.
Cynthia, mm-hmm. Anything else on Senior Center Liaison?
No, thank you. Again, it's just generally a connection type questions. But if we get good information, and I think the idea of going to and finding out about the use of the Get Set and all that should be the first priority of us.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Elizabeth, members in good standing. Are we all in good standing?
I would say so.
Okay, good. It's only March, Elizabeth. I hope so.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
That sounded painful.
There are a few people who, like Linda Barcelona, again, who have not sent in any hours for volunteer hours. But I'll just keep emailing.
Okay.
Okay. But as far as attendance goes, attendance has been good. At the engagement, senior engagement committee, there is the FEIG, F-E-I-G.
Scott.
He's been absent every time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The attorney.
Yeah. Okay. And do members of either SCAC or the standing committee need a reminder that they need to be at the meeting for at least half of it to be counted present? Because I noticed some members go in and out or are there for roll call and then depart.
Right. But there's no way I know, you know, when they just put their name or the picture, I don't really have a way of knowing, are they there or not?
Yeah, it's only if you see that they've disappeared.
That's right. But
I did have one member and I would say it, I was very happy to get the email from him. I had no doubt about this person's ethics, but an email from him saying that, you know, he had to leave and he was there for less than half the meeting. So I just thought that was a great testament to his ethics. Yeah. Okay.
Elaine?
Yes.
Elaine, question. Does Zoom have records of when a person signs in and when the person signs out, if prior to cutting off the whole meeting?
I don't know. Desiree, do you know that?
Yes, you can pull reports from Zoom. And it'll specify when someone signs in and how long they were signed in for.
So we do have evidence then if a person was in the meeting for less than half.
Correct.
Okay.
I think maybe the reminder should go out to everyone. I don't think we want to be a nanny state and, you know, watching that unless it becomes a real issue, but I just think maybe a reminder to people that you do need to be here for at least half the meeting because you're there to get information and participate.
But it is confirmable then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
well you can sign in and just leave it running and go do something. So I mean it does, you know, unless we have the honor system, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you log out, but you know, somebody could get in and out.
Yeah, that's why we don't want to get into that, but I just think maybe a reminder of people of what the expectation is. And it does state it in the bylaws too. I mean, it's not just common sense. It states it in the bylaws. Okay, anything else, Elizabeth?
No.
Okay, any announcements? John?
In the April meeting, the CSL elections, Elaine, will consist of seven candidates for seven positions. So historically, what has been done is the chair simply declares by acclamation that the seven candidates are elected. You don't have to go through the individual 1 or 2 minute speeches each candidate provides and then have a vote count. You can just do an acclamation and the matter is closed.
Yes. Just an FYI. Yeah. So as long as there's the same number of candidates as there are positions.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Anything else? Any other announcements? Well, I'll just say, I know some of you are in South County. So if you're here on Saturday, come to Laguna Niguel City Hall, Saturday, 9 to noon. We're having an emergency preparedness fair. So lots of good information. We'll have booths out there from OCFA, OCSD, lots of different organizations, but on how, you know, it's important information to have that you never want to need. So you are all welcome to come. John, something else.
One more item. Erica would have made this announcement. C4A has announced their convention. It will be in May. Have you got that information, Marco?
It is going to be May 11th through the 13th, I think.
Yes.
And there are two options. There's in-person available, also virtual. There is both options available. I don't have all the details of how that's going to work, but yeah, there's both options.
And the reason I raise that is that the county has historically sent representatives to that convention in Glendale this year. Last year was virtual. So something to think about. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anything else? Any other business or information? Okay, our next executive board meeting, we will have a mini virtual meeting on April 8th. We'll have a 5-minute meeting just before our SCAC meeting for the purposes of AB 361. So on the 8th for our SCAC meeting, it'll be executive board and then two of the standing committees and then SCAC. So please be sure to sign on no later than 9:15 so we can do the vote for AB 361. And then after that, our next meeting will be April 26th at 9:30. So with that, thank you for all what you're doing. Thank you for being here this morning. And we are now adjourned at 10:06 a.m.